الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again has blessed us by coming and attending and being part of the masjid. As you know from the beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the people and amongst the people that are going to be shaded on the day of Qiyamah is the one that attaches themselves to the masjid. And this is a very, very great challenge we have in today's time. We have geographic issues, we have distance issues, so many things, work-related issues. And if one takes all those issues we have, and thereafter we focus on the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, attach yourself to the masjid. Attach yourself to the masjid, which will acquire and attain for you a shade on the day in which there is no shade. We understand not only the complexity of the statement, but the reality of making this a reality. That is why the young people that come, there's so much going on in young people's lives. They have to worry about college, they have to worry about jobs, they have to worry about home security. And when you make the time to come to the masjid, especially early on a Friday, it reminds us of the beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says that the reward level changes. The people that come first, they will get the reward, for example, by virtue of example, to that of a camel. And those that come last, they'll be getting the size of an egg. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, has brought us here for whatever reason early. And this also teaches us from the other hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever a person does any act of good, it has nothing to do with how smart you are, how wealthy you are, how poor you are, how needy you are. There are people that are very poor and they turn their backs on Allah. And there are people that are very wealthy that go towards Allah. And there are people that are wealthy that reject Allah. And there are people that are poor that go towards Allah. Going and doing what Allah loves for us to do is simply out of the kindness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from his side. This is something we have to very much understand, especially in light of last week's talk. Last week we spoke about tawfiq. What is tawfiq? Tawfiq is the ability to do good things. Tawfiq is the ability to do good things, not from your side, but Allah allowing you to do good things due to the good choices you and I have made with the help of Allah. Very important, very important. Let me repeat that again. Tawfiq means, in a nutshell, the ability to do good things, not because you and I are genius, you and I are smart, you and I are this, you and I are that. It is simply as a result of good things that we have done to a certain extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. And when Allah has accepted those little good things we have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easier to do more good things for that given individual. And this is what we have to be begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously of. That, oh Allah, I'm doing a little, but accept it, O Allah. That is why amongst the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, there were those that said, I might as well give one dirham that is halal in the path of Allah than 1,000 dirhams that are haram. What did he say? It is better that I give one dirham in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is purely halal, then give 1,000 dirhams in the path of Allah that is haram. There are some Sahaba that even said, I might as well see my children starving. What they said, I might as well, not because they want to see the children starving. It is okay for me to suffer the pain of my child starving than feeding my child with haram. Sahaba used to say this. Tabi'een used to say this. And after that, they will say to their children, "Oh my children, oh my daughters." There was one that had so many daughters, say, "It is better for me to see you living in poverty and challenge, but it is harder for me as a father to see my daughter going to the fire of Jahannam." What they said, "It is easier for me to see you having a hard time regarding the food that you cannot put in your mouth, suffering from poverty, than on the day of judgment, seeing you, my daughter, going into the fire of Jahannam for the evil that I am teaching you." And thereafter they will say, "Oh my daughter, read Surah Waqiyah after the Maghrib Salah." Historians write, when they studied this man's daughter's life, each one were married to millionaires. And their children were not just thereafter wealthy, but they were linked to the Quran, and some of them were actually, majority of them became Qurra and lovers of the Quran. How come? How come this happened? It happened because the grandfather was genuine. "I'm not going to put pollutants in the life of my children. I'm not going to put pollutants and bring them in my family. Because there are certain things Allah has made halal, certain things Allah has made haram." This is the definition, which goes to the second thing we need to talk about. Last week we spoke about tawfiq. So how did these people accomplish so much? Because they had total tawakkal to Allah. What is the definition of tawakkal to Allah? The definition, simply put, you know, when a baby starts walking, how does a baby start walking? You all know it. It starts and it falls. It starts and it falls, right? At the same time, when the child starts walking, the child does something very, very unique. It grabs onto something to be very cautious so it doesn't fall, whether it's the wall, whether it's the father's or mother's finger. Even if you give the whole hand, sometimes it is too smart. It'll ignore the hand, just grab the finger. That's how smart the child is. And we think children are not that smart. So it grabs the little finger. Why? Because it's trying to say something. "I want to walk without your help, but I need your help because I don't want to fall, because falling is going to be more painful than doing what I need to do." So what does the child do? It balances itself out between pain and pleasure. And that's what tawakkal to Allah is all about. It's about seeking that guide, that Allah, at all times. Like that child, seeking the protection from Allah at all times while doing the necessary things we need to do. And this is the challenge we have as humans. We get caught up in one or the other. Some people get caught up totally in the aspect of Allah and they let go of their families and they think that is right. Then there are those that get caught up totally in the dunya and they sacrifice their families on a different level, or they sacrifice what Allah wishes for them to go towards. And this is not tawakkal to Allah. That is a form of ignorance that is masking itself with our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing we spoke about last week is, how do we get that tawfiq? The tawfiq, in other words, the ability to continually do good. And what are the things that stops us from doing good at all times? And there are two things that we need to talk about in the context of our environment. And one of them is our constant ability in running and hankering behind the world. Now, we need the world, we understand that. I mean, I was talking to a brother the other day. He says the minimum survival for a person that wants to stay away from Section 8 and unemployment, minimum survival is $3,000. $3,000 is the survival rate. I said, how do you come with $3,000? I know some of you say, what is he saying, $3,000? It doesn't make sense. This is for a person that doesn't want to depend on government and depend on someone else. And he showed me the math. He says, first of all, if you're making $3,000, 25% is for Uncle Sam. He says, that's the way it goes. So automatically, now you've got a minus $750. And basic other taxes, you lose one third. Right. $1,300 for rent. So now you have $1,300 plus the $750 for taxes, $2,000 gone. Thereafter, you got cell phone bill, thereafter you got medical, thereafter you got, you name it, children's uniforms to put forward. He says you have, if you're trying to live a modest life but an ethical life, it becomes very, very, very hard. This is what he's saying. Now, this is important. Now, why am I saying this? Because if this is a reality we all are going to go through. And there is going to be shaytan. Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul fatra wa ya'murukum bil fahsha. Shaytan knows this challenge everyone has. So he's going to start with you. What is going to start with you? Play with your time card. He's going to start with you. Well, like this one fellow, they say he made over $100,000. He used to work overtime, over $110,000, $20,000. He used to be the sanitation engineer at where the train stops are, wherever the trains are, New York or somewhere. He used to be a sanitation engineer. They couldn't understand how this guy was working so many hours. He was working like over 80, 90 hours. People said, no, no, no. You can't be making over $100,000 doing this job. Sometimes you will go even beyond. You know what he was doing? He was playing the system. He worked, then he goes into the janitorial room. And guess what he does? He falls asleep over there. He sleeps 3-4 hours, comes back out, goes to work. Again, he gets tired. So he was working all this overtime, but he wasn't really working overtime. He was playing the system. Why? Because the system over there says rent is $4,000 a month. He wants to live in a $4,000 a month home. And the list goes on. So shaitan does this to people. It makes us play the system. It makes us go towards haram. And we have to fight that and say, what is written for me, that's going to come my way. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. And I'm going to do it the way Allah wants me to do it. Because the race for that which is fancy never comes to an end. The scholars give this beautiful example. And those of you that have lived 40, 50 years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They give the example, you buy your first home, mashallah, 2 bedroom, 2 houses, you buy it. And you're enjoying it. And within 2-3 years, somebody comes to the house. Oh, very nice house, mashallah, 2 bedroom, 2 bathrooms, 2 bedrooms, a kitchen, subhanallah. Do you have a garage? Oh, you don't have a garage. Oh, where do you keep your extra things? The conversation has started. Then the wife says, you know, we got to get a garage. It'll be nice for us. We can keep the car in there. We can keep other things. Okay, 3-4 years later, 2 bedroom, 2 bathroom. See, some guys are already smiling, mashallah. And you get not a car garage, double car garage. Mashallah, promotion time. You get that, and 3 years later, somebody comes to your house. With 3 children, how do you manage in this 3-bedroom house? You have 3 children. You know, don't they crawl over one another? That's how they make it seem. Don't they crawl over one another? Subhanallah. Sister, brother, you're living there 3 years. Nobody crawling over one another. Now it gets time to go into 4-bedroom home. Not only 2 garage, maybe 3 garage. And it never ends. Then the next person comes in your house and what he says, but you live in West Valley. I mean, it's nice you have this 3-bedroom. It's nice you have this 2-car garage. It's nice you have all that. But West Valley? Who lives in West Valley? Oh, your children go there to school. Oh, no, 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 no. How can you go over there? How can they go to that school? You know, our school in Draper, you know, the teacher is so nice. They hug our children when you come to school. You see what happens. And before you know it, now you have the race in this world never comes to an end. The race never comes to an end. You know, remember the time when you were walking, somebody gave you a $600 car, $300. It was like they gave you the world. You were so happy until your friend comes with a brand new Toyota with nice wheels and says, you're driving that? You're driving that? You got potential in life. And the argument starts. So my brothers and sisters, ghina nafs. This is a beautiful hadith. Those of you that know Arabic, you know exactly which hadith I'm talking about. Money is not going to do it. The size of family you have is not going to do it. The amount of property you're not going to have is not going to give you the satisfaction. What's going to give you the satisfaction? Your heart has to be content. Now, don't do it like some religious people, mashallah. You know, religious people also, they know this hadith, so this is how they do it. Brother, how are you doing? This is how they say it. Shukr. They don't say shukr, they go like this. Shukr, what can I say? In saying shukr, what can I say? They said it all. What they're saying, my life is miserable. In the word of shukr, they're showing misery. Now, that's how, see, shaitan, he's too good. He knows how to get the non-religious person. He also knows how to get the religious person. Shukr, you know, what can I say? You said it all. In not saying it, you said more than the person that is not showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have sheikhs. And sheikhs teach us that true happiness doesn't come from words. It doesn't come from the type of people you associate with. It comes with the happiness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you with your accepting what Allah has given you without question and without doubt. Because my brothers, on a very serious note, understand one thing. Children are looking at you, if you have young ones, and they are seeing exactly how mommy and daddy are behaving. And once they see how grandpa and grandma are behaving, that's the model they're going to use for their future. That's why there was a sheikh that came, I remember, to South Africa a long time ago. He gave a very beautiful answer. In the 60s and 70s, there was this whole debate. The debate was, Sheikh, we've got to have less children in our families. Sheikh, the world is getting overpopulated. Sheikh, you know, there's not going to be enough food. And he gave a very brilliant answer. He says, no, the world is not overpopulated. The world has too many greedy, selfish, and stupid people. That's what he said. He says, that's what the world has. Too many greedy, selfish, and stupid people. You remove that aspect of greed, selfishness, and stupidity, and you have a remarkable society out there. So, rid and nafs. We have to get ourselves to be content and accepting of what Allah has given us, while at the same time working harder to being the best citizens we can be. And the second part, my brothers and our young ones, and I want you to focus on this very importantly, is the aspect of modesty, haya. The hadith of Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam says, once haya leaves a person, that person is destroyed. Now when you look at manuals of psychology and psychiatry, they actually say, shyness is like a disease. Shyness, not like a disease literally, but if you have an issue with shyness, then you've got a problem mentally. And our hadith is saying, no. Yes, there are some people, because of their shyness, they cannot function. But we shouldn't say there's something wrong with you in the head. What we have to say is, let's work with that shyness and let us help you overcome it so you can become a better individual and a much more functioning individual in society. Now, why am I passing this message? A few weeks back, we spoke about the aspect of music and a few things we talked about. It was a holiday, and these are the things that our young ones are sort of familiar with. And a young boy came to me, and he was talking about the school and high school. And he says, you know, after we do our PE and exercise, we go into the locker room and we have to change. And my mother told me, what he's telling me, my mother told me that I must not change my clothes in front of other people. That's what he says. My mother said, it's part of Deen also, I must not change my clothes in front of other people. So now that I don't change my clothes, and those of you that went to high school and has been to all these gyms and stuff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So when I don't change in front of people in the gym, then people make fun of me. They say, what's wrong with you? Are you not a boy? Are you not a man? You got to undress in front of us. But that's how boys do it. And we go into the shower room, in the shower area, and we take our bath in public. It's the things guys do. That's what he's saying. That's what his friends told him. Now look at the society we are part of. By the way, for the record, before someone says, what is the imam talking? Don't let shaitan play with you on this. Because Musa alayhi salam had the same problem. And he used to go and bathe. And when he would go to bath, he would cover his body up. He would cover, especially from the navel to the knee, or whatever the Sharia back then used to require, he was covered up. So people used to make fun. They say, what's wrong with Musa alayhi salam? What's wrong with him? He doesn't want to shower in front of us. He doesn't want to clean himself in front of us. He goes in a quiet place. He goes in a remote area. He covers himself up. Why is he doing this? So this is the disease that is part of human nature, to want to expose parts of themselves for whatever reason. We don't want to go into the psychology. The psychologists, by the way, talk about these things. People that expose their bodies, what they are going through, why they are going through, what they want to show, that's a separate issue. But this boy is asking now, what do I do? What do I do that when I go to the gym, after my workout, I'm being told that if I don't bathe in a public-like manner, then basically I'm not a true man. And this is what Islam is teaching us. It says a true man and a true woman is that person that is modest in nature. And their modesty is such that they will conceal their body parts, not only to those that are sometimes close to them, but especially strangers and when they come out of their homes. That's why they say, وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. It is not just for the men. This ayah is addressing men and women alike. Believing men and believing women. Protect that which Allah has made sensitive in nature. Because if you don't protect that which is sensitive in nature, then we become like a ripping lion. We don't know where to stop. That is why we have a problem in society. Now it's getting to be the cooler months in Utah. What happens in the cooler months in Utah? Without going to the details, two things take place as a pattern from what they're telling us. People go towards watching more haram, number one, and you know what I'm referring to. And number two, the second thing they go towards more is popping more pills. So once you don't have modesty, and once you don't have this closeness towards what Allah expects of you, then the hadith says, فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْ. Now that modesty has left you, do whatever you want to do. And once you start doing whatever you want to do, you lose respect. People around you lose respect of you. You become argumentative. You become like a debater. You begin to say things like, I don't care. Let him confront me. I don't care. Let him say what he needs to say. I don't care. Like the young boys when they talk. Once you hear someone saying, I don't care, run from that person. My brothers and sisters, your friends, when they say to you, I don't care what my mom says. I don't care what my teacher says. I don't care what so-and-so says. Once they use that phrase, don't think they are strong. They are mentally very weak. They are very, very weak because they don't have the strength to do good. They're going to destroy you and they're going to destroy others. Go towards people that care. Go towards people that love. Go towards people that are affectionate. Go towards people that, yes, even if they're weak regarding the Quran, go towards people that love the Quran. Even if their love is weak towards their mother and father, go towards them because one day they will eventually get it right. But a person that doesn't care, only gets worse and worse. Beautiful thing for you to inshallah review. Go through this inshallah on your own time. I'll just make the reference very easy. 18 juz, first page. If you want total guidance in life, look at the 18 juz, first page. As Mawlana will tell you. But aflaha al-mu'minun alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un walladhina hum 'anil laghwi mu'ridun. Till the end of the page. If you want guidance, reflect upon this page. And I tell you, it'll bring modesty, inshallah, in. It'll bring contentment of the heart in. And also, it'll keep us on the first two things we mentioned. It'll hook up, inshallah. It'll hook us up onto the highway of not just tawakkaltu ala Allah, but also, inshallah, when getting the tawfiq thereafter of doing the best of the best. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.